When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Shaq Hislop. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. Manchester City take on Aston Villa. Remember, Villa beat City in the reverse fixture earlier on in the season. No such problems, though, for the defending champions this time round. It will be City who would open the scoring. Rodri making it 1-0. By the way, no Haaland, no De Bruyne, no Stones in the starting 11. And Villa would get the equaliser, Duran making it 1-1. But Phil Foden's free kick would kick off a brilliant second half performance from him. He would score just before the break to make it 2-1, and then a couple of brilliant strikes would see Manchester City win the game by 4-1. What does that mean? Well, Arsenal won earlier as well against Luton, so for the moment they're top of the table, and now just 1 point once again separates the top three, though Liverpool in action on Thursday at home against Sheffield United. Don Hutchinson joins us. We'll be hearing from Don in a moment. But Craig, this was impressive from City considering everything that happened at the weekend. I know it was very much depleted Villa side given the injuries they had, but still.
Well, they made changes and City made changes, so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I suppose The goal just before half-time, the Foden free kick, Douglas Luiz gives the foul away a little needlessly, and then Zaniolo, there's nothing else. It's cowardly.
Right.
You stand in the wall, if you're in the wall, you've got to take it. Right. It's the last thing. You don't want to go in the dressing room and face your teammates or your manager having basically tried to curl up in a little ball and protect yourself. Because that's what he did, right? His job is to protect the right side of the goal, as Shaka knows, right? It's not the goalkeeper's position to go and get this. The wall should do its job. So the fact that he doesn't hold his position tells me he's scared of getting hit by the ball, which we kind of all are, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you've got to sort of blank that out because that's your job. So that definitely, maybe it would have been a slightly different narrative in the second half had they not had that goal. That's a tough call because they just, They purred in the second half. They pushed on. I mean, Villa were somewhat competitive in the first half. The second half, not so much. And Phil Foden, you know, playing more central, continues and continues to prove himself not only one of the best players in this multi-talented City side. Now he can hold his head up. He can stand beside De Bruyne and all these guys and say, I'm as good as you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm as good, if not better. Now, he's got a few years to go on and improve and do even more in the game. But it's not just Man City and it's not just England. It's Europe and on a world level. That's, I think we've always known this guy has got this ability. And it's been sort of up and down as a little roller coaster with him. But boy, he's back and bang on form.
And of course, his form and his hat trick leads to the question, doesn't it? It's a valid question as to whether or not you can have De Bruyne and Foden both playing in this Manchester City starting 11 and both playing at their best.
Oh, I think you can. I think you find a way. I mean, De Bruyne has not hit top form. He's 32. I wouldn't say he's past his prime, but father time's starting to catch up. But you look at Phil Foden. The commentators mentioned tonight, Gascoigne. He's got shades of Gascoigne, the way he takes players on, the way he takes it on the back foot. He sucks players sort of close to him because he's got the ability to wriggle free. I thought he was amazing tonight. Two players who came off the bench at the weekend, Doku and Grealish, were really, really poor against Arsenal. I thought those two were really good tonight, Doku especially. Rodri, I think, gets a mention every single game because you watch him and he makes the game look easy. But Foden was the player that you watched tonight and you just thought, stardust. You just thought, what an exciting young player. And if you're Gareth Southgate, I don't think there's any debate. You've got to get him in your 11. You've probably got to get him in your number 10 position. Find a different position for Jude Bellingham because this kid's special.
So people might be saying, Dan, you're an idiot. Of course, Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne can play together. Look, they won the treble last year.
There's three people working on this programme tonight.
Look what happened last year. So I went through it. I did some research.
What? Oh, sorry, I missed that.
Phil Foden didn't start a single knockout match in the Champions League. Phil Foden didn't start in the FA Cup. Kevin De Bruyne was preferred within that role, which I think leads to a valid question as to whether or not you can have these two in the same team and both playing at their best.
I'm with Don in that, absolutely, yes. And I think...
But have we seen that?
Well maybe we haven't. We didn't see it last season because Guardiola decided not to select Foden, as you point out by your research. And this season, De Bruyne just hasn't been his former self. And as a result, you've seen him in and out of the team during the course of the season. But when you have players as talented as Kevin De Bruyne is at his best, as good as Phil Foden certainly has been, yes, you find
so
a way
to... How do you find that way?
I think Foden quite easily could come from either flank. Either flank. You continue to employ De Bruyne through the middle, sitting just behind a front one or front two, depending on how Guardiola decides to go with it. And Foden has proven that he can play either flank and be just as effective. So I
think he's best through the middle, though, isn't he? To say that he's as good on the right or left flank.
Well, the question you asked me is, can you play Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden at the same time? No. If that question is in the same exact position, then no.
Right.
But you asked me if they can, and my answer is yes. I'd play De Bruyne through the middle and I'd employ Foden from either flank.
Well, he's been very effective from the right-hand side, Phil Foden. But I agree. I think... ultimately, he has much more of an effect on the game with his... tonight, it was the goals, and as it has been a lot this season, but his general movement and how he takes the ball in that position, or any position, and how he uses his body and understands when to let the ball run across him and when not. And also, his assists and his game awareness and all that. And you have a better... understanding of doing that when you're playing central. When you're playing out in the wide position, you're kind of limited a little bit because you're doing a bit of a defensive job and you try to pick where your positions are. Well, not writing De Bruyne off just yet, right?
No, of course not. But I'm just saying, can you have these
There is an argument to say, right, now you'd have to say, if we're playing Real Madrid tomorrow, would he want to go with Grealish and Doku both in the team in the wide positions? And I agree with Don. And I thought Grealish was... looked a lot better tonight, a lot sharper in his passing, and we know he's a quality player. Docker's a bit more off the cuff, and you know sometimes he doesn't know what he's going to do, but he's got pace and he's got talent and he's direct and he's different to what City have. But you'd have to question, would he play both of them? And if that the answer is no, then Foden would probably go wide. But I think the other side of it is that Kevin De Bruyne, Shaq, has touched on, apart from that Luton game when he came back from the injury where he was absolutely outstanding at Kenilworth Road. Now, it was Luton and they did make a mess of it, but him and Haaland were out of this world. But we've seen the little gripes at the manager when he's taken them off. We've seen the little frustrations. And I think we're at a point with Phil Foden's form and everybody else being fit that... I don't think I've ever said this when he's been fit, but he's not undroppable at the moment, Kevin De Bruyne. With the season he's had, it's not a guarantee that Guardiola wouldn't go, I tell you what, fancy Foden in there today behind Haaland and not Kevin De Bruyne. Now, over the last 5 or 6 years, those words have probably never been uttered with any player coming in to replace this guy. But Father Time is just starting to catch up with him a little bit. The form's not quite there. The injuries have been there, and that's all an age thing as well. And then we have the young pretender at 23, absolutely flying. So, listen, whether Guardiola does it or not, it is options for the manager, and that, for a coach, is the best thing you can have.
Craig brought up Phil Foden's opening goal. Shaka, as a goalkeeper, how do you handle that? This is just before half-time as well.
You battle it.
Absolutely. No... I think that goal changed the entire game because while Villa was second best, they're still in it at 1-1 and going in at halftime. As Craig mentioned, it changes halftime team talks.
You were saying you had something similar with Di Canio.
Di Canio away at Birmingham City in the Cup one season. He was supposed to be exactly where Zaniolo was, that side of the goal, and he decides to go far post to mark somebody. And we're standing there trying to figure out what's going on because, of course, all these things are said before. He goes for a wonder. Birmingham score that side of the wall right before halftime. I am fuming at this point. I go in because I'm like, I know who's supposed to be in the war, but, you know, now I'm questioning because Di Canio is saying he's not supposed to be there. You go on the board, he's there. That starts an argument between the two of us. Les Seeley, may he rest in peace, comes over to calm me down, puts me to sit down and virtually sits on top of me. Di Canio, in the meanwhile, goes berserk in the fire in the dressing room, turning over tables and so, as he does. But it's his job. It was his job, and he decided to do something else, which throws everybody off. And now, similarly, Zaniolo here, and what infuriated me even more is how he turned towards Olsen.
He had to go.
I mean, he chickened out of his duties and then turned around and remonstrated as it was Olsen's fault. And maybe there was a time you could get away with that where you go back and say, no, I was in the right position. It's the goalkeeper who put me in the wrong position. But with today's technology, Unai Emery could sit right there on the bench and in 4 seconds see exactly what happened on his iPad or whatever. So I'm sure he got the dressing down. I hope he got the dressing down because it was deserved.
Oh, you're damn right he did. I mean, what made me laugh was there was a set piece just before that, a corner kick, and Jim Proudfoot in the commentary said, Austin McPhee, the set piece coach, is now prowling the technical area. And he was nowhere to be seen when that set piece was an absolute balls up. And it just made me laugh because we saw it with Arsenal as well, the set piece. And I know Arsenal have had a lot of successful set pieces, but it's almost like the introduction of the unknown coach who now comes to the front and goes, this is all on me.
I like that.
Because if the guys don't already... Listen, I'm not against having a set piece coach. Back in the day, managers and coaches did it all. Now they sort of... they sort of micromanage these different facets of the game, which is fine. But coming out onto the technical area, you've already told the guys, when you go on the field, you know what your job is.
Yeah. Right?
So, kind of thing. So, it does make you chuckle a little bit. But listen, you know, it's all very well having a big wall. And people say, you hear people in the commentary saying, well, that's a big wall. That's going to be difficult to get over. Well, that's true, but it has to be a brave wall.
Of course.
If it's not a brave wall, you might as well not have a wall.
Don, just take us into the locker room and about how big a no-no this is.
Oh, it's criminal. I mean, this is why I could never be a manager or a coach, because I would have done Zaniolo a week's wages, because it's that bad. It's just a lack of bravery. You're standing in the wall. The manager, the coaches have put you in the wall because you've got to take one for the team. You've got to take it in the chest. If it hits you in the face, then so be it. But as Shaka said, he's chickened out of it. I mean, we've not said chickened out of it since we were at school. That's how sort of bad it is. It's just an absolute no-no. And I can tell you the team, the players inside the dressing room would have given it. I'm pretty sure of that. The coaches would have been absolutely fuming. I'm not sure whether they, you know, give out rockets anymore because they're trying to protect the player and trying to get the player back on side for the second half because the player might have completely lost his head. Like Shaka said, you get emotional with the Di Canio situation. And we had Ian Pearce and I think Christian Daly and Shaka and everyone involved. Sometimes it can be a good thing because it can get the adrenaline going and it could be a good thing for the second half. But from Zaniolo's point of view, who's a player I've watched for quite a few years, who I really, really like. That was so bad.
But bear in mind, he made changes. Well, both, as you mentioned at the top, made changes. But bear in mind the players that he left out, Haaland and De Bruyne and one or two others, and they have some injuries. Well, this was maybe they do. This was a huge game for City today against a team that's in the Champions League.
That dominated them when they last met.
Oh, the best performance of the season by miles. Maybe even best performance for years for Aston Villa. 22 efforts in goal.
Yes.
I think City 2 absolutely battered them, but it was a changed Villa side. That being said, it was still a tough hurdle to get over. And had City stumbled again tonight, and I think Arsenal were always, and we'll get to them, were always likely to win, and Liverpool, you know, Sheffield United at home. I mean, come on, is it really going to be?
Out of those three fixtures, you thought, oh, maybe this one.
So, you know, with those changes, there was a slight element of risk to it. You know, bringing in guys like Docker, who's a little bit unpredictable, Grealish, who was very much the focal point of the weekend, with Guardiola not happy with him coming on, and, you know, leaving out De Bruyne and Alvarez starting and not Haaland. Was if they had lost this game, the chances of them getting that back to Liverpool, who are probably going to win tomorrow, was going to be slim. So not only was it a really, really good performance from them all, particularly Foden, it was a big win from the team.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
As I mentioned before, Arsenal would beat Luton Town by 2-0. No Saka or Declan Rice in the starting 11. No problem, though, for Mikel Arteta's side. Odegaard would open the scoring, and then it'd be an own goal just before the break for a comfortable victory for Arsenal. I don't really want to talk about this game, but let's focus, shall we, on what's going on in this incredible Premier League title race. Just 1 point separates the top three. It's interesting, after that 0-0 draw, I think a lot of us was questioning Manchester City. Like, can they put in the sort of run that we've seen in the past where they can just win out? Has today changed that rhetoric at all?
No, I don't think so. I think there was enough there, particularly in the first half, from Villa. I changed Villa side, no Ollie Watkins. Duran did OK. But nothing convinces me that City are just going to blow everybody away. I mean, I believe some of their fixtures are on the easier side. But, I mean, I don't have the answer to that, I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at it, it's all paper now, isn't it? I mean, you know, Tottenham and Brighton, up and down, Tottenham fighting for that top four.
It's brilliant, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's fantastic, because you know it's going to go down.
It's not a
right to the wire.
It's not a particularly difficult run-in from Man City on paper. That's what I would say.
I think the Spurs and Brighton games on paper are the toughest tests. But I've been saying this for City for most of the season. They just haven't been able to keep clean sheets.
Right.
And if, as an opponent coming into City, even though you know how good they are, you know the threats that they possess, but you come in there thinking, we're going to get a chance. We can score against them, and it all comes down to how good we can be defensively. Can we force them to start to panic a little bit? So you give the opponent just that glimmer of hope, which I don't think we've been able to say about City for quite some time. Normally, when you come up against City, you know it's going to be the longest 90 minutes of your career. But I just don't get that feeling this time around. So, and I thought the games today were a good example of that. While City won 4-1, up until that Foden's first goal, City second, you just had that element of doubt in your mind. And while Arsenal was 2-0 and it didn't score in the second half, it just felt so controlled from them. I think that's the difference between City and Arsenal at the very least this season.
Who's going to win the league, Don?
I think if Liverpool beat Sheffield United and beat Man United, I think they'll win the league. I think if you look at the next two fixtures, they're interesting because City have got Palace and Luton. You'd expect City to beat both of them. Arsenal have got two tricky ones. They've got Brighton away and Villa. So if Liverpool can beat Sheffield United tomorrow, which I expect them to do, then go to Old Trafford when they done them in the cup game a couple of weeks back when they got emotional. Liverpool got sucked into a cup tie. If they play it a bit more measured and they win both of their games, I think this could be Liverpool's. Yeah, I've got it. I've got them favourites.
Have you got Arsenal finishing the top four, Don?
I have, Dan. So I might owe you a few $50
coming to me from him. Start of the season.
Oh, you win another bet.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
There's almost got to be some sort of unwritten rule that you can't goad Don Hutchison and Stevie Nicholl.
If they want to give me money, then what am I supposed to do? I can't turn it down.
Some sort of
just ask them for $50 and just...
Hey, there's nothing comes easier than those pair.
I know.
Did any of you used to have Chelsea in the top four? Did any of you?
I know
it's a bit left view, but many, many pundits in England said Chelsea could win the league.
Well, don't...
I mean, they were out of their minds.
Don't pass
out
the
ball. Out of their minds.
Get them to pay your $50.
Anybody who had Chelsea...
I don't know.
I need names of people who had Chelsea to win the league.
Well, Frank would have said top four, wouldn't he?
Let's look at the bottom standings, shall we? Just have a moment on who is going down. Sheffield United, of course, will go down. Burnley, you would expect as well. It's all been about that third place, hasn't it? Luton, you look at Luton's fixtures, you're like, yeah, you know, they're not going to get anything from the Arsenal tie. 3 points now separate. Big win for Forest, wasn't it, against Everton? Against Fulham. Everton, meanwhile, getting that draw against Newcastle. Who have you got going down, Don?
Well, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to Everton in terms of any more points taken off them. So that's obviously a story. Everton have got Burnley next at Goodison this weekend, which is absolutely monumental. So I thought they were terrible. I thought they looked like a championship side against Newcastle for 45 minutes until Sean Dyche made the changes. I think it's the bottom three as it is. I think Everton, if they beat Burnley, which I expect them to do, have got, I think, Forest as well at Goodison. So they've got favourable games, winnable games at home. I'm just so scared if they get any more points. But in terms of if we park that for 1 minute, I think it's the bottom three as it stands.
Just a reminder, plenty of reflection what's happening this week on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, including breaking down the Coppa Italia. Who's this guy with Gab? He looks very tired, Don. Oh, look at him. looks like he's just lost $50.
He's combed his chair. The chair.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Meanwhile, tomorrow at Stamford Bridge...
Oh, Chelsea, it's the league winners!
Chelsea against Manchester. Who would have thought this would be such a low-quality game, low-quality expectations
this is like somebody asking
going
you,
into this game?
This is like somebody asking you to go down the weekend and pay big money to watch Larry Holmes have a boxing match against Mike Tyson.
Wow, that's turning back the clock, everybody. Get on your Wikipedias. Here's Mauricio Pochettino.
I think we are Chelsea. But we need to behave like Chelsea. We need to behave like if we want to belong to a big club, it's not an excuse to be young or to be an experienced player. It's we need to behave because on the end, we need to defend our badge and of course to play for our club and to perform. When we talk about potential amazing player, when we talk about the potential to be a big player, when we are talking about young, they need to realize that they need to improve so quick. It's not time to improve 1 year, 2 years, because the demand is so high from the Premier League and then from the club. You know, we cannot be an exhibition team that play football to enjoy. We need to compete, and compete is completely different. That is why I was upset or was disappointed after the Burnley game. Because, of course, with the ball, we try, we play, we create chances. Wow, unbelievable. But after, we need to run. If we want to win, yes, we need to respect the both face of the game. And I think if you watch the game, I think you will be agree with me. If the player are not agree with me, okay, we need to be worried, you know, because I think we have experience in football and we know what it means to play for win.
Many Chelsea fans agreeing that Burnley performance was one of the low points.
He might be
the
one of the nicest guys around, and I think by all accounts he is. And clearly he's a good coach. He's having a struggle this year, but I don't think I've heard the press conference off him where I've come out and remembered one thing that he said at the end. It's maybe a language barrier thing and all that, but he just sort of spills. He's been saying the same thing since pre-season, all the way through.
I remember a press conference where I remember exactly what he said, and that was, a week ago when he said, if you look at the stats, we'd be top four.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that was just the most bizarre thing.
Yeah. And then they got the stats out and said, hey, actually, you would be. This is a match between two guys that give. I mean, the press conference is both these managers. He just rumbles on, and the other one talks out his backside, doesn't he? Ten Hag. I mean, he really does, and certainly has this season. When the producer was asking us for results in this game, I was at like a wit's end to think, I don't really know, because does anybody have a clue, including the managers, what they're going to get out of their players in both these teams? And the answer is no. Yeah. Not a Scooby. Not a clue. Chelsea could go out and play some good football, and then they could crumble, miss all these chances. United, who knows? It could be a pressing game. It could be passive, as it normally is, and you know the goalkeeper could be getting pelted and making saves all over the place like he was against Brentford and other teams. Who the hell knows? And I think from Chelsea's perspective, they're at home. United have been hit defensively with some horrendous injuries. Martinez, Varane, Lindelof, Shaw, Malacia. There's a list of it. So if you can't beat this United side at home now, what chance have you got in the future? Mm. I mean, Chelsea went to Old Trafford this season, one of the poorer United sides of recent times. Although they did well last year, they've been pretty garbage this year for the most part, right? Chelsea got a pasting there. They got beat. I think they did. But they were lucky to get out. I was 28. I'm not looking at you two.
Shaka made a noise.
28 efforts in goal.
Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah. Man United had against Chelsea at Old Trafford. It was embarrassing. So he needs to up the game. Right? He can sit and spool on all he wants in these press conferences, Pochettino. But he's the manager. Right? He knew he had the job 3 months before the summer. He had all pre-season. He's worked with these players. Is there any evidence that anything is better, apart from the fact he keeps talking about the rage?
Yeah.
And all that sort of nonsense. The answer, if they've been better, is no.
Now let's take a look, shall we, everyone's predictions. I think everyone has gone for quite a low-scoring tie. 1-0 says Craig, 1-1 says Shaka, Don says 2-1 United, I say 1-0 United.
We've seen the injuries.
This is true, Don, obviously the injuries, but even with those, this would be another new low, I feel like I say every week, for Chelsea to lose against this depleted Manchester United side.
Yeah, the only couple of things I took from that press conference there when he was saying defend the badge, you know, that's what Chelsea used to do 10, 15 years ago. They defended the badge and they would trample all over anyone to try and win a game. They're a soft touch. The other one was stop playing like an exhibition team. That's exactly what they are. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a gamble. You know, you can toss the coin whatever the result's going to be. United have got loads of injuries at the back, all at the back. I was listening to Ten Hag today and he said he's got people like Mason Mount back, he's got midfield players back, he's got wide men all back, but defenders he hasn't got many of. Chelsea are just a bad side. I mean, I've seen them so many times this season. I've seen Leeds. Leeds got beat or drew, I can't remember what it was, but I think they lost in the second half. They did. Conor Gallagher scored a late goal and Leeds absolutely beat them up. Archie Gray, who I think 17, was playing against Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez, and he walked all over them. So these are meant to be, you know, Chelsea's two best players. I've got no idea. It's one of them. Enjoy the game. There'll be a million mistakes and someone will win it by a bit of luck.
No, you said to you, we talked, I think yesterday, it was on extra time, about would Pochettino be here? Yeah, it was extra time, actually. The question was, would Pochettino be the manager of Chelsea next year? And I think Jacques and I both said...
I said yes.
Yes, yeah. I think we both said yes. But the more you look at it, you know, if United were to go there with a depleted side and win, and then Fulham were to go above them, can Chelsea finish, say, 13th in the Premier League? If that's where they finish at the end of this, they might not. They might climb up, finish mid-table or just above. Who the hell knows? But if they do finish, say, around 12th or 13th,
yep.
can he sit there and paint a picture to this ownership and say, this is us going forward?
And then you've got Gab's booming voice saying they can't afford to sack him. Financial fair play, they're stuck with him. That's Gab.
Yeah.
Oh, well. The voice of financial
Well, that's their problem. But I'm saying is, how do you sell that to the punters?
Is tomorrow's game, the end result, detrimental when it comes to either manager being in charge at the start of next season?
I don't think so. I think we've seen enough of both of them. Now, the reason
you get rid of both of them?
I think there's a far greater chance that Ten Hag is not Manchester United's manager come August. Pochettino, I think, not on the job that he's done, but on the fact that Chelsea have kind of cycled through managers over the last, 12 months before Pochettino, and just the fact that there isn't a ready-made replacement, and Gab and his booming voice suggests otherwise. But in terms of what you've seen from Chelsea, performance-wise, I cannot make an argument for Pochettino to be Chelsea's manager next season. I simply can't. And for Manchester United, while, again, they have financial fair play issues themselves, I just feel that United, despite their injuries, have regressed a lot over the last 12 months. And similarly, it's a difficult conversation or difficult to convince anybody that Ten Hag is the man to get them back on the right tracks. And as a result, I think United are more likely to change
minds. Bearing in mind, Chelsea have shown they're no different in some sense to the Abramovich era. They sacked Potter. They said they would go long term. Let's see what they do here, right? But if they sack Potter for the short term job that he did, then you're sacking Pochettino.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, the one thing Abramovich had was consistency. Whether we agree with that and it was the right way
And success.
You were hired and you were fired, depending on results. End of story. And he paid them and off they pop. Now, it's slightly different because of the financial restraints that you talked about. But given the form this season of both, particularly Chelsea, but obviously Man United's performances, I would get rid of them. I would get rid of them because I think there are better candidates out there that can work. And listen, particularly at Man United, right? There's all the talk about Chelsea youngsters. Particularly at Manchester United, there's a lot of big heads that need to go, right? There's no doubt about that. There is a lot of waste in there that needs to go. But there's no way in the world, even with these players the way they are, that they should be playing in the manner in which they're playing against the bulk of the Premier League. And that's the problem. So that's on Ten Hag. Listen, I'm not expecting Man United to be beating Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal and winning the league at this moment in time. But I'm also not expecting them to be getting battered by all and sundry during 90 minutes of football, even at Old Trafford. That is on the manager. So I would get rid of him. And I think Ineos will get rid of him in some Jim Ratcliffe. They're not spending $1.25 billion plus to sit in their hands and pussyfoot around. Mm. Right? They're not doing it. Right? So I think he probably knows, barring anything disastrous turning up and there's nobody available, he's gone.
Meanwhile, Manchester United do have a youngster in Ian Dark's breakout 11 of the Premier League season. See how smooth that was? You can check that out over on the website.
Is that you trying to remedy the distrust and
no, not at all. I think we're beyond that point. But be sure to check that. Then Xhaka won't be in tomorrow, neither am I. But Stephen Craig will be here to reflect on what happens in that tie at Stamford Bridge. Of course, Liverpool in action as well against Sheffield United. Kay will be in the hot seat.
It's never ending, isn't it?
But what have you done? 2 days in a row.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Short and sweet. Much like myself. And Shag and Barry, you know, as well. Don joins us as well. Be sure to stay tuned as we'll be addressing some of your questions for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig is here, Shaq is up. Don, it's the first time I've been on with you for a long time.
Yeah.
Did I see a post that you almost burnt your house down?
What?
You were trying something because you had a cold, so you put some Vicks in like a bowl and lit it on fire?
Oh, that is true. That is true. Yeah, that is true. That is true. I put Vicks in a candle. Yeah. And I set the candle in the bathroom because I thought it would make the bathroom nice and minty, and the whole thing went up. The whole thing.
Beautiful.
Do not do that. Do not do that at home.
There you are. Well,
I would imagine the majority of people would do that.
Wow.
I'm being honest.
I thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah, well,
I think that's more about you than other people, Don. Don, how did you handle games when you knew their team was completely outclassed across all positions?
Do you know, Don, I was had this conversation, funny enough, with someone the other day, and not once have I ever stood in a tunnel and thought, we've got no chance today. Apart from once, when we played against the Arsenal, when Tony Adams scored the volley, they beat us 4-5. And I was in the tunnel and Vieira was there, Petit was there, Bergkamp was there. I'm not sure if Ronaldo or Wrighty was there. And you just thought, my days, like, this is something special. And you look across the team and you're in the tunnel and they're all about 6'3". And you go, we've got no chance today. More the fact that I think I was so upset with Howard Kendall because he played a back four and one holding midfield player and there were five defenders. Five centre-halves he played across the back four. Slaven Bilic is a holding midfield player. He scored an own goal after 5 minutes. 1-0 down, game over, lost 4-5.
Oh. What's it like?
What?
Like when you mess up,
I was trying to work out the question because I thought it was a grammatical mistake, but it's not. How did they...
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, like when you were playing for Derby, obviously, you must have come up against some of those big Premier
League. Derby, Shall I say it?
You tell me whatever you like.
No, I won't use the word.
Okay. But you look at it, and there must have been times where you were outclassed all over the pitch. Like, how do you address those games as a player?
Never thought we'd never get anything out of a game. There was plenty of games we didn't. And it's hard because you go from the Chelsea scenario, which was, you know, cup finals and decent and getting better, to Celtic, it was extremely competitive every week, to that, when you're scrapping and fighting every week, it's horrible. What do you do? This is the whole premise of it. You got to roll your sleeves up, buckle and knuckle down and fight and keep your shape and all that sort of, all the sort of cliches, and try and nick a point here and there. I remember going to Arsenal at Highbury with Derby, and we either nicked a point or 3 points. I can't remember which one it was, but I don't think we ever budged from the edge of our own box.
Right. How aware are you of the clock in those sort of situations?
Very.
I imagine you must be, yeah? It must be like when you're at the gym, you think, oh, I've done at least 15 minutes. You look at it and it's 3 minutes.
The ref must have been like, for God's sake, don't ask me again. Don't ask me again how long's left.
Yeah.
But that's, at the end of the day, and that's why you talk, when you hear managers and players talk about at the bottom of any league, whether it be Championship or League One or Serie A, whatever it is, Bundesliga,
If you don't fight, you're gone.
Sure.
Because you're there for a reason. It's because your team, your squad, hasn't got the quality of the others. So if you don't have the fight, then you're completely screwed. And it isn't a nice scenario, but it's a scenario that you've walked into, whether you had your choice or not. And you've got to deal with it. But
is it different for a goalkeeper, Shan?
Well, for a goalkeeper, you know how important the first goal is. And you feel that while it's 0-0, you have a chance.
Right.
If the opponent takes the lead, you know.
Then you just switch off and you're thinking, what am I going to do tonight?
You're in for a long, long evening. You're playing an Arsenal with as Don was describing, Thierry Henry and them. You go one and all of a sudden now you have to try to attack and look for a goal. it's going to be 4 or 5. So it's all about that first goal. But just when you ask about the clock, I always remember talking to my brother after he played Sweden in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And wow.
This was a 0-0 draw in which group? In which game?
First game of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the expectation in that we were just going to get blown out of the water by everybody.
Yeah.
But my brother always talked about he's in the stands and he is exhausted, right? He's thinking, you know, he's hanging on the edge of every single thing.
Sure.
And he turns to his mate and says, I think we could hold on for a draw here. How much time has gone? 13 minutes.
That's brilliant. That's why Craig puts the towel over the clock. That's why the towel is there. Don't be reminded of the time. Don, percentage chance that United can snatch top four given Spurs and Villa have to play the top three in the home run? On the run home?
Not on what? I've got no confidence they can win another game, man. They're so bad. Percentage chance, 15.
Well, there we go. I think that's probably generous. Shaka, both City's and Liverpool's backup. Oh, wait, I'm just being told, Don, you can't see Manchester United winning another game for this season, but you have predicted them to beat Chelsea tomorrow.
Correct. 20%.
Somebody light some Vicks. Yeah. Somebody give me a Vic scandal, please.
So what I did was, I wanted to light the bathroom up. So I've got this
just talking out loud.
I had a bit of a cold, a bit of a sniffle. So I've got this big canister of gasoline and I've got some explosives. And I thought, oh, this might work.
Don't forget the mint.
But don't forget the mix. Shaka, both City and Liverpool's backup goalkeepers look really good to stay as backup for another season. Should they try to move if they aren't assured or more playing time next season? Well, Tego was good today when he called upon them. He made a good save.
Absolutely. If I'm Ortega, I'm thinking, because every time I've seen him, every time he comes in for whether it's a game or two over an extended spell, I think he's always done. So he's really done well. So I would give them. I would certainly be looking for a first team opportunity.
You would move, even though it's taken you down, obviously, with regards to chances to win.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's great playing in teams like that and the achievements that you do, but you want to feel a part.
What's it like being a backup goalkeeper?
It's a different mindset altogether. And saying that, not every good backup makes a good first choice goalkeeper. It's just a different mindset in that you're going to be playing 3 or 4 games. You've got to be solid. I think as a backup, whereas if you're Edison, you expect Edison to be passing the ball out to the back and doing certain things. If you're a backup, you don't need to be taking some of those chances.
Right.
Just if there's any doubt, if there's any doubt.
Well, why not? Because who cares? You're not going to play anyway.
Yeah, no,
you know
no.
I mean? It's a bit like this show. You've got to be ready to come on, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really ready to go and talk.
Ready to go when you get the call. On you come. FC tonight.
Don, obviously, when people see your name on Extra Time, they want to ask you percentage questions. Another one here. Assign the percentage blame for Chelsea's poor season. Ownership, Poch, the players. So three ways.
All of the above.
How would you divide the percentages?
I would probably split it three ways just to keep it simple. Players are terrible.
So what percentages are those, Don?
What's that, 33 and a third?
Yeah!
Players are terrible.
No.
Poch, that's a cop out.
Let's not get down to decimal points here.
No decimal points.
Poch will not last. The Chelsea fans can't see past the Tottenham connection. Gary O'Neill's doing a great job. Poch is doing nothing. I wonder what he's coaching into the players, because they look bad. They look terrible every single week. The owners are a shambles, putting them players on eight-year deals, because where's their appetite every single game, knowing they've got eight-year contracts? Must be a terrible environment.
I think the ownership has to take a...
Oh.
Sorry.
I was expecting...
Well, I just 33 and a three is a cop out.
Did you not get the memo?
33 and a three is a cop out. Ownership has to be...
So that's 34.
Ownership has to be 51%, because it's more than half.
It's like Shark Tank.
Yep. Oh. So you go 51% yes. ownership.
Yep.
I'm going to go 24%.
Yes.
Me.
20%.
Yes.
Poch.
Yes.
29%.
No, this is a bigger deal than it seems. I'm telling you.
What does?
This decimal point. And I'll tell you why. Because when you're writing your will, right? I'm being serious now.
Okay.
You dish it up three ways.
Yes.
Your fortune.
Yes, my fortune, yeah.
You give it three ways. 33 and a third doesn't wash.
Why not? Why doesn't it wash?
It doesn't. There's decimal points.
You're not allowed decimal points in a will?
No.
Why not? This feels like...
How does he know?
He said you just made that up.
I don't know. He's come out of here. He's come out.
He must have done his will last week.
No. 33.3.
Of course you can do decimal points. You can do what you want.
33.3333. How many threes do you have to go, mate?
It doesn't matter. You have third, don't you?
No, it's not split that way.
No? Right, if I'm divvying up my million...
If I've got three houses next door to each other, I give each one of my kids one of them houses.
Wow, Shaq.
Three.
You've got five kids, though. What about the other two? Why don't you like them?
they have to pay rent.
Where are we?
Not that we're at that time.
Oh, right, here we go. Story time.
Not that I'm thinking. I mean, hopefully not. I've got a big show tomorrow to do. You know, I'm thinking about wills and all that.
Have you done your will?
Right.
Well, you know.
It changes every day.
What?
Imagine Burley's will.
Burley's will.
Yeah, I've done my will, but you are right. Right, okay.
Okay.
You're off.
Right, Burley. The Old Firm derby coming up this weekend.
Whoa. The word derby is not on it. Should not be on it. It's the Old Firm.
All right, there we are. Oh. I never knew that.
I did not know. I thought it was derby.
Come in tomorrow, you'll learn some more.
Wow, I can still be off.
Or stay at home, do your will.
With the Old Firm coming up this weekend, can Craig tell us what it's like to play in it? Every tackle seems to have a little extra bit behind it.
Yeah. I mean...
How many did you play in? Four?
New. One, two, three, four. I don't know.
Four. 4.2. 4.2. Okay, well, let's not dwell on that. Let's dwell on the question.
No, not four.
Okay.
At least five or six.
Okay, right.
I'm glad I asked.
It's
four in the first year.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Right.
With that.
What was it like?
Well, I think, I don't know what it's like now because the players have changed, but I don't think it's, how can I put it? It's bordering on, it's, I don't quite find the right terminology here.
Finish quick, he said today, Shaq. Mm. Let's get this done.
It's taking bitterness to another level.
Right.
And I don't mean from the players.
Okay.
Although that has happened now and again.
Yes.
But when I was at Celtic, the Rangers players, I'd have kicked lumps out of them all day, but I would have had a beer with them. And I knew a lot of them. But I had respect for them. But from a supporter's point of view, the hatred is, for me, too much.
Right.
It's just too much. And it's sectarian on both sides. Religious. And this sort of discussion has reared its head again in Scotland because of a sort of hate bill that's been written into the law, which I don't know much about, but a lot of it's to do with the chanting at these grounds. And you're sometimes thinking, you go, my God, and Steve Clarke, the current Scotland manager, touched on this when he was managing at Kilmarnock. He said, what are we doing in the west of Scotland? Are we living in the dark ages? And it's kind of still like that in a sense that we can't get away from Some people went to that school because it was a Catholic school, and some people went to that school because it was a Protestant, and it's a divide, and it's religious, and it's a game of football. And that side of it boils over.
Right.
But the atmosphere at the games was amazing.
Well, could you enjoy it?
You can only enjoy it. And I suppose this is, I don't know what the boys will say about other derbies I've played in. For me, you could only enjoy it when you won, because the pressure was so great.
Mm.
Particularly living in a goldfish bowl like Glasgow, where, you know, it's all about Rangers and Celtic. It's all about the lifestyle. It's all about these people going to work on a Monday morning and not being embarrassed. And the pressure to succeed at those two clubs. And I've always said this, there's been a lot of players that have gone to Scotland, particularly years ago, way better players than me and some of the other guys that have gone, and they've gone up there with their chest puffed out, thinking it's going to be a piece of cake, and they've failed. And they failed not because they were bad players, they failed because they couldn't handle the people just constantly getting on them. If you can't handle that, you're absolutely done. But it's one of those games, if you lose, you don't swan about Glasgow.
Right.
Having a few beers going, ah, it was only a game.
Yeah.
No. You lose, you keep your head down until you grind and get the next result.
Don, another percentage question for you. Is it actually possible for a player to give 110%?
No, absolute rubbish.
There we go, that's good, I like that.
You know, can't give 110% and you will.
No, you can't, Craig. That is a very fair point.
That is true, yes.
Final question, Dan. If you're Southgate, would you build the team around Foden or Bellingham? Both. We're going to win it, Don. We're going to win the Euros. Isn't it exciting?
Yeah,
Don, he's Scottish.
Scottish.
I know, but me, I'm talking about me.
Yeah, why are you so excited with
Don? It's not the Royal. It's me. Me. We. England. We're going to win it. We're going to do it. It's going to be brilliant.
You know it's going to be brilliant this summer.
No.
I know it's going to be great.
Don't need your toxic...
No. We're going to see a lot of great football. And it's going to be so enjoyable to see the pain.
Why?
Your face.
Why would you want to see a friend and a colleague suffer like that?
Stop.
Someone you've written into your will and out of your will and into your will. He's going to give me 0.2% of something.
Hey, you're not even the thub. That's an idea.
There you are.
You see, when it's glorious failure again.
No.
They've already arranged it. The police, Buckingham Palace, the bus trip. The route for the bus, the open-top bus, it's all done.
We have to get the logistics right. We have to
and
get
then
it right.
Bosh, down they go. Straight on their face.
No! We're going to do it this time. It's exciting.
If England win, will you go for the open-top bus?
Sorry?
If England do win it, will you go over to England to celebrate?
No, I want to stay here and enjoy laughing
and
at Stevie.
And rub it in everybody's fire.
Stevie would be the one who will hate it the most.
He'll go over there.
Say again?
You'll go over there.
I'll go
all those drunks.
I don't go over there. I wouldn't want to leave you.
You go over there, I'll write you out my will. Take that thud.
That bird is gone.
A thud of nothing.
That is it. Thank you very much, Don.
Oh, I have a battle.
Love it.
Tomorrow.
Well done, boys.
Thank you very much. What are you doing? You all right?
Amazing.
What's that?
Well played. You're in my will. 55 minutes.
Yeah, there we
job
go.
Job done.
Shaka, they'll be long tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about.
I'll tell you what it won't be tomorrow.
Long. Hey, Stevie's got pictures of his colonoscopy for you.